Flash number 17311 to Robert Watson, reel 3.
Robert Watson, reel 3. Yes, you're telling me about the barges, aren't you? You were going on these barges.
That's right. Well, the three barges were towed up the Twinner River. I don't know, I forget how many miles it was. It might have been 100, 200. We were on there for about 3 days. And I don't know how many miles we did today, but still, when... Oh yes. We kept on going until we came to a tributary of the Twinner called the Pinega River. P-I-N-E-G-A. Pinega. The Pinega River. And that was a wide tributary, very wide tributary. And they towed us up there to a village just this side of this end of the town of Pinega, this side. We did not go into Pinega, our troops, but the headquarters had the place there, their own headquarters there, and all those were there. Well, we'd been, oh, I must tell you, the river, as we were going up, there was a footpath either side, but trees for 100, 200 yards thick going up the side of the river. And when we arrived at this village, or this little town, I forget the name now, we'd been there some time. And we'd made one attack with the help, trying to help the white Russians. And later on, there was trouble, I believe. I don't know exactly the truth of all this, but it seems that Kerr and Sherwood Kelly had orders to do something with the troops, take them in, do fight somewhere, or something. And he refused to do it because it was too dangerous or something. And he wouldn't do it. And he was recalled. And everybody was very sorry for him because he was such a darn nice chap for a colonel. He talked to the troops, not like they do now, they ignore them more or less. Well, that was something. Well,
that attack you did, can you remember anything about it? When you said you went into one attack, can you remember anything about it? What you were, who you were attacking?
Well, Park. When I said about, I'm sorry, my hearing is bad as well.
Did you say that you went? You did do an attack at one time. That you did go into attack.
Into a pack?
No, into an attack.
And oh, I beg your pardon. Yes, we didn't actually go into the attack. We supported the white Russians behind. They did all the work. Well, when we came back, a few days later, we had to go through this wood into some open space the other side where the Russians, what Red Russians were. And there's a platoon of us went through there, and the minister, I forget what we called him. He was with us. And when we got there, we couldn't get any further, couldn't get out of the wood because the Russians had taken all the land there, and they'd have just mowed us down if we had it done. And we had to return. We couldn't find our way back. It was just the fact that the minister there, Padre, that's the word I was looking for, the Padre, had chipped some of the trees. And by these chips, we got back to our own place again. Actually, it was wasted money. That's a lot supporting the Russians, because we didn't do anything up there.
What did you know about the revolution? Were you told anything about the Russian Revolution and who the Reds and who the Whites were?
We were told about it, that the Reds were going to hold it, and the loyal White Russians didn't want communism. They were on the other side, and we supported them, but they weren't strong enough. And I think it was beginning of October, we came away.
Did you meet any of the white soldiers? Did you mix or meet with any of the white soldiers?
Only once we saw them. And only for a few minutes of passing by, sort of thing.
What did you think of the communists, of the Reds?
I never saw any. Never saw one. At least, if we did, we didn't know what they were. We didn't have anything to do with them. It was the most wasteful, I think, effort to help. I don't know. We went out there and did practically nothing.
Would you have been armed? You know, would you have borne arms when you were up the river and in the wood?
Were
you always armed?
We were armed. Oh, yes. We got rifles and Lewis guns. We were fully armed, as we were in France. So. But now, there's one thing I want to tell you about this. All right. We were sent down, a section of us were sent down the river from where we were to, I don't know the name of the place, I can't think of it. And there was a farm on the sides, and a bit of a wooden landing stage. And when we got down there, a barge drew in with a Russian chap on board, the tugboat went and left him. And we went down to have a look to see what was going on, and this barge, Russian barge, he was drunk, he didn't know what he was doing. So we got into, our chap in charge got in touch with the high headquarters ours, and they sent somebody down, took him off, and we looked after the barge. Well, we found the drink, and we found new uniforms. They were going to give them to the White Russians, I think. We were for them. Our uniform. And as our uniforms were old, we'd been used in France and that sort of thing, we'd had the only fur we'd had since we joined up. We've all got new uniforms, the six of us. And that was it. Well, we were sleeping in the cow shed over the loft over the cow shed, only one cow in there. And one of our chaps had been on a farm, and he used to get up early in the morning, go down and milk the cow. And it happened for about 3 days until the landlady of the farm caught him, and we could hear her going on out of shouting and pouring what he was doing and that sort of thing. Took the milk off him. And that was it. He came up, I think he was trembling. Oh. And that's what happened. Oh, and then when we were relieved, I went back to the company again. They were looking, they all got new uniforms on. We looked different, sort of. The chaps did. And an officer was there, lieutenant. He came along and he looked, he said, good Lord, where did you get those from? They're all new uniforms. Where did you get them from? One chap said, we won them down below, sir. He was quiet for a moment. He says, oh, did you? Right. And he walks away. Didn't say anything. So we were all right.
What was Russia like, the country? Did you like it?
Actually, it wasn't very different from other continental countries like France and the roads and the trees. More trees there, a lot of forest. And farms, there's plenty of farms about, because it wasn't very well occupied where we were, northern Russia. Because that's where they get where the coldest spells are, on the north coast. Because that goes round across the pole, in the top of the earth sort of thing.
Did you have any idea who was winning the revolution while you were there? Did you?
No. I knew we weren't. I don't know whether there was any other fighting going on anywhere. I think there was down south, around Poland and Austria, that way. But I don't think there was any more up north where we were. Well, at least I never saw any or heard of it.
It's interesting you saying what a waste of time and effort that was, and money.
Yeah. Well, it must have cost a lot of money, that. Take all that all to us, lots to keep us there.
Were there many supplies, apart from those uniforms, do you think, that went to Russia for the white people?
There probably were, because there was that barge was full of stuff. And all we got out of it was the drink. It was like a wine or something, I think. I don't think it was vodka. Drinking uniforms. Well, I don't think we were prepared to go through the whole lot. Otherwise, we would have been in trouble. Oh, I thought of something, I've forgotten it now. Oh dear. Oh. I know, but I think then we came home. We left. I think we left, what's the name of the town, the bottom of the Dwina, Archangel. Couldn't think of the name. I think we left at the March, Archangel, and went back. And I think we landed somewhere on the east coast, down our east coast somewhere. I can't think exactly where. And then we were given a month's leave. And then going back to the on duty again. We went back to Crowborough again. And I was there some time, I forget what it was. And we were shipped then to Egypt. We went to Alexandria by ship, and on the way we called it Gibraltar, Malta, or some place in Algiers, and some other place, I can't think of the word now. And we finished up at Constantinople, Turkey. Well, the troops on board, we've been on board a fortnight, and they wanted some exercise, you know, sort of thing. And eventually they fixed it up for us. We got in a barge and went across, I think it's the Dardanelles, to lower the southern states. Turkey is the end of the northern states. The Dardanelles is the division, I think. I don't know. Oh, well, I don't just know whether you remember that when we went to the Dardanelles, they went on a troop ship and ran it aground and climbed out of it and went ashore. And we saw that ship. It was still there then, and that would be 1920, something like that. I forgot to tell you, sometime in the meantime, I think it was after I came from France, we were re-enlisted for 5 years. All the blokes that went to Russia were all re-enlisted for 5 years. That was before we went to Russia. Oh no, I've just forgotten what I was talking about.
You were saying it's very interesting. You went over to the Dardanelles, saw that troop ship.
Oh yes, the troop ship that took the our men to the Dardanelles. It was still there, it's shallow water. And they put us on tugs and barges or something and took us across I'm forgetting the name of the state it was. It's the other side of the Dardanelles. On the lower half of the earth, sort of thing, it's the northern hemisphere, sort of thing. And the southern, but it wasn't the hemisphere, it was this division of this river. I can't think of the name of it. So long ago now. Anyhow, we had a route march there, came back, and we went on board, and then we left Constantinople and went to Egypt, went to Alexandria. And when we got there, went on coaches, I think, to along the coast, about 3 or 4 miles from Alexandria, a place called Sidi Bish, Sidi, I think it's Bish, Sidi Bish, that's the pronunciation anyhow. And that was a camp there on the edge of the coastline. Sand, all sand. It was a beautiful beach. And we went in swimming there. And we were warned to be very careful. I think it was somebody joking, I don't know. Some rocks farther up. And they said, this, what do you call those things? Big arms,
Octopus.
There's an octopus there. So be careful when you're out there swimming. It didn't come from anywhere from our place. Some of the residents there or something, I think.
What were you doing there? What were you there for, do you think, in Egypt?
I've no idea. It was like a holiday to us. I don't think we were fighting anybody then. Because we used to, on a Saturday, we'd hire donkeys from Sidi Bish and go into Alexandria, ride them into Alexandria, about 3 miles, well, 2.5-3 miles, and go to the races there, horse racing, on a Saturday. And I don't know why we were there. I don't remember doing anything serious there at all. And
would you have borne arms at all? Would you have been armed?
Oh yes, always armed. Wherever you went, unless it was on leave or anything like that. And if you're on regimental duty at all, you're always armed. Go about.
Did you have training in the desert? Did you have any training there?
No.
In the desert?
We did have parades and that sort of thing. We had to do things and that sort of thing. We weren't just left alone. And it was a sandy desert too. It was on the edge of the desert. All sand.
And would you have been there until your demob? Is that where you stayed until you were demobbed?
Yes, I went back to England and I was demobbed then. Now, I can't think where I went when I was demobbed. Oh, yes, I can. I've got it there. Wait a minute, is it? Oh. Yes, we went to Crowborough again, I think it was Crowborough again we went to, where we were camped there, and we were allowed, by the way, we didn't serve the 5 years, it was 3 years. After 3 years we could come out if we wished. So we came out. And coming back on the troop ship from Alexander's back, we were playing cards and thinking, crown and anchor. No crown and anchor in the game? Yeah. And I won quite a bit of money there, somewhere about £20, I suppose. And my friend Powell, we were together, he lost money. I gave him a fiver. He said, "Oh, I'll give it you when we get our money back." And we got back to Crowborough, and then when we were lined up, ready for demob, when we'd been paid, you could go off into the station and get away, go home. Well, his name began with A. I forget his. Apsley, some name like that, and mine being W. He was at the beginning of the rank, I was at the end. He got paid, disappeared very quickly with my £5. And that was the last I saw. But it didn't make any difference. And then I came home.
How easy was it adapting to normal life when you left the army? How easy was it to get a job?
I didn't have much trouble to get a job because my father had been in the Cunard Line when there were sailing ships, when he was a youngster. And he'd got an excellent job there. He was smokeroom steward on the Mauritania-Lusitania. And he used to run the day's run. They used to bet on it, the day's run, how many miles. And he used to take, he said he used to take as much as £400 a day from passengers. He used to take 10% of that, and he used to give 2.5% of it to the Sailor's Home business, I forget the name of it.
And did you go into the Navy? Did you go into the merchant service then?
Yes. He spoke to somebody about me, and I went down there to the office on the, in the docks, and they fixed me up with a job. Well, it was in the pantry on the Mauritania. And I had to learn all about all this. I had to learn all the cheeses and one thing and another, and different things, because the waiters would come in, want so and so, so and so. You just have to give it to them. And the pantry man, I think he and my father didn't go on very well. He sat it out on me. And some waiter came there for some cheese, and I didn't know what it was. And I had to go and ask him. And he came in the pantry. He gave the waiter the cheese, and he got on to me about it. You stay in here, he said, and learn every one of those cheeses, and leading off.
That must have been quite a change from the war.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Do you think the war made a difference to your life, being in the war?
Oh, yes, it did. Because it took part of my life from 17 to 22, about 5 years altogether, which could have made all the difference to me. I might have got a different job and made something of myself, which I didn't. After 2 years I was on the Cunard Line, became a waiter eventually. And in the meantime, my father got a house outside Leicester, at a village called Crofton. Nice house and big garden with fruit trees in it, that sort of thing. He'd married again, a much younger woman. And I went up there. My younger brother and I had a third bedroom on the top.
Do you think, though, you know, keeping going back to the war, you say that you really lost out a bit because of your job, but did you gain anything through being in the war? Were there anything...
Self-sufficiency, to be able to not worry, I could look after myself, that feeling. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do,
I could mix anybody and not worry, sort of thing. And
thank you very much indeed, Mr. Watson, for telling me about your war experience. It really has been very interesting.
Oh, I went to Cork. Oh, no, that was recently.
Yeah. Yes, well, you've certainly had some very interesting experiences, didn't you? The Western Front, then Germany, and into Russia. Yeah. So,
and then Egypt.
So much. And Egypt after that. Yes, indeed. So, my goodness. Mm. Thank you very much indeed for telling me about them.
Well, it's very kind of you to come all this way. I was very worried about it, because I thought you only wanted to know about North Russia, that was all.
Oh, no, everything, anything you can remember, and you've remembered an awful lot.
You think so?
Yes, I do. I think, you know, what are you, you're 98.
Oh, I will be in July.
Yes, well, there you are, what a memory. Yeah. And you seem to see it so vividly.
Pardon?
You seem to see your these things so vividly. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
That was taken after this war.
Oh, yes. Yes.